This episode of the Omelet Radio Podcast is brought to you by World Truck and Auto Body, everyone. You need auto body work. You need collision repair. These are the guys, man, right here in Traverse City. World Truck and Auto Body, located right next to, right behind Classic Motorsports on US 31 between the Chum's Corners and the Mall. And auto body and collision repair specialists for any size vehicle. They have semis in the bay. They have little cars. They have trucks, SUVs, any size vehicle. If you need body work, then these are the guys to do it. Don't get the guy that says, oh, I could do that for you. I could put some Bondo on that. It'll look just as good as new. You know, everybody's got that friend. I'll do the auto body. You got to go to the specialist, man. You got to go where they're proud of their work. They put their name on it. They've been around for 26 years. So get it done by the specialists. Also, sandblasting specialists. Have anything metal sandblasted or painted or just sandblasted ready for custom paint. Classic cars from all over Michigan. Go to World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City and get stripped and get blasted ready for paint. They also do custom door work, garage doors, entryways into custom homes. They have free estimates. There's no obligation. Call Jeff or Bob over there. 231-943-9945. Jeff or Bob, they answer the phone. Call or stop by World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City, Michigan, located right behind Classic Motorsports off of US 31 between the Chum's Corner and the Mall. And be sure to tell them that you heard it right here on the podcast. Thank you so much. And we're also brought to you by Amazon.com. People have been clicking through my website and we get a little kickback. We reinvest that back into the podcast. I was just looking at Amazon.com. And again, just click through my website, omeletradio.com. And there's a little banner on the right side. You click through there, you end up on the Amazon banner, the Amazon webpage, and you purchase stuff. It sends right to your house. And I get a little kickback on the backside. Doesn't cost you anymore. They just know that I am driving some business to Amazon. And I really want to get this Amazon Echo. Right now, it's normally $179 on sale for $139. So that's $40 off, 22% off. I would love to get one of these things for Christmas. And I know that somebody in your family probably would too. So buy the Amazon Echo and charge it up through omeletradio.com. All right, let's start the podcast. Rick Coates is on this week.
OmeletRadio.com with your host, Omelet. Take it away, Omelet.
Drive up in a big black Cadillac. Oh, it's Christmas time, pretty baby.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another podcast. I've been so looking forward to having Mr. Rick Coates on the podcast, and now today I get him.
Yeah, it's like the old days, man. We're here at 6 o'clock in the morning recording this. This is wild.
On a Monday, we're here. Rick Coates, it's time for the news.
Good morning. Here's your Omelet Radio News update. Bye.
I'm just kidding. Just thought I'd hit you with that at the top.
I was
of the
ready,
hour.
Man. I got up at 3 and prepared the news for this morning.
Oh, man. There's so much to talk about. Rick and I have gotten together a couple times since our last days on the radio, but We haven't had a lot of chance to talk, so we're just going to do our catching up right here on the air. We're just coming off of a Christmas party that we had at the Eagles, which was tremendous.
Close to 200 people. I know Mike Bristol was like blown away because it was also the Eagles' Christmas party, and he goes like, he kept asking me because I got there just before you did. He's like, are those people with you? Are those people with you guys? I said, hell yeah, they're all RP1s.
That's right, man. So thanks for coming out, everybody. Yeah. We had an awesome time. Cut up a rug, and there was some ridiculous contests and there was a Kleenex box with jingle bells. It's very foggy to me.
Some sort of cakewalk that wasn't with a cake, and I don't know.
There was cell phones. Chad's got to stop with the cell phones. Hanging Chad was there and filming all of the dance on the dance floor. Don't worry about the phone.
You know, in some previous podcasts, you were mentioning this band, and for some reason, there was rumors that they were a country band, but they played a lot of great deep cuts of classic rock and roll. They were pretty darn good for a garage band.
Sunset Daredevils, and I remember they pulled out some Hendrix, which was incredible.
Stones.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was tremendous, man. It was an old-fashioned get-together at Christmas time at the old, Eagles Hall.
Yeah, the secret location. And a big shout-out to your wife, who brought like 20 pizzas from That's a Pizza.
She did.
And it was like nobody had eaten dinner. She came in around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and man, I think those pizzas were gone in 15 minutes.
It was very popular.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rick Coates, I have in front of me a magazine. We'll talk a little bit about this, but it's called My Brew. You are the editor of this magazine. And a lot of people have been asking me, what's Rick Coates been up to? And I'm like, go ask Rick Coates.
Right. I mean, we get the same thing. There's three questions that you and I both get asked, and obviously it's been independently. But I say this to people. I mean, my wife's been asking me for 30 years, as soon as you figure out what it is that you do, will you please let me know so I can tell other people?
What does your husband do? Well, that's kind of a involved question.
You know what? Somebody asked me there. One of the P1s asked me at the party on Saturday night, the Eagles. They said, hey, Rick, what do you do? What is it you're doing? I said, it's complicated.
Yeah, nice.
It's complicated.
Good, Facebook status. Rick Coates started a long time ago. You have always been a print journalist, and that's what you continue to do. Mm-hmm. The radio thing was kind of like a 7 or 8 year detour, even though it wasn't a total detour because you kept up with your writing and things like that. I mean, you were with the Northern Express for a long time, up until about 3 or 4 years ago. So there was a lot of overlap from what you did on the radio and kept things going in your other career, which you started this working for the Guild, right?
Yeah, the Michigan Brewers Guild. They're the organization that represents some 275 brewing operations in the state of Michigan. And the executive director of the Brewers Guild, Scott Graham, a longtime friend of mine, not to go into a lot of the details, but he and I worked in the beer industry 20-some years ago. And he came to me back in the spring and said, hey, Rick, we're thinking about launching a magazine for our enthusiasts so people can join the Guild and be what they call an enthusiast member. You pay $55 a year. You get access to early purchase of the four beer festivals that they put on and some other things. And they thought, you know what would be really cool is let's do a print magazine, glossy, real in-depth interviews with people that are connected to the industry.
Yeah.
And so we discussed it, and then about 45 days ago, pulled the trigger on it and put this thing together in 45 days.
Well, you've been putting this together for a while. I mean, I think you told me about it on the radio that it was just the beginnings of being discussed and talked about.
Right. We started talking about it last May and June, but things like this take some time. It's not an inexpensive venture to do something like this.
It's
high quality.
Totally.
36 or 40 pages, and they sold a lot of advertising. It's printed here in Northern Michigan at BP Demand, the former Village Press, and they do this all over the world. And so, I'm real excited about it. And so if you go to the Michigan Brewers Guild .org, you can get or .com. They got .org, .com. But My Brew or My Beer, but My Brew, it's MI.
Well, people are really passionate about beer, and this kind of gets you to the next level of actually reading about beer.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool things. Like if you're into rock and roll, for example, one of the people that we feature is Vinnie Dabrowski, who is the lead singer of Sponge and another band called The Orbitsons. And both The Orbitsons and Sponge play often at the beer festivals for the, you know, and so there's an article about him. I mean, it's pretty cool. He's got a new album out called The Beer Sessions that's all motivated by Michigan beer.
No kidding. And is it under the name Sponge?
Yeah.
No kidding.
It's their new album. It just came out.
And he's where, up north in the UP, or is he downstate?
He lives in St. Clair. So he never left Michigan. He stayed here and still lives here. And,
no kidding.
Yeah, so.
We're not unfamiliar with beer festivals here,
right.
But I guess they have them all over the state, and some of them are bringing in, I mean, a lot, you know, like 7,000 people, you told me off the air?
Right. I mean, one of the incentives to being an enthusiast member for the Brewers Guild is because, for example, the Winter Beer Festival is at Fifth Third Ballpark, just north of Grand Rapids. It's where the Whitecaps. And the tickets went on sale, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And in 3 hours, 7,000-plus tickets sold out. They're completely sold out in 3 hours.
And are you going to this?
Oh, of course.
What is the date on that?
It's at the end of February. It's the last weekend.
It's an outdoor winter one.
Outdoor winter right in the parking lot, but tickets, they've added a Friday night component, so they have some Friday night activities going on, and then they always have really cool bands too, like Sponge.
Is Sponge playing?
They're not there. They just played the Detroit Fall Beer Festival, which was
beer festivals,
right? I mean, it's amazing. So,
and so that goes on all through the summer. How many festivals do you project around the state for like in a year's time?
Well, I think that there's some 50 plus beer festivals, but the Brewers Guild, they put on 4 festivals. They're big summer beer festivals in Ypsilanti, just outside of Ann Arbor, and it'll be the 20th festival this summer. So, and then they do one in the Upper Peninsula in Marquette, and then they do the Detroit Fall Beer Festival. So those are the 4 big ones. And of course, as you very well know, I mean, we've been involved in the ones that Sam Porter puts here. And those are big too. Those are 5,000 people.
Huge. I've never missed one. In fact, I think there's another one coming up probably this February, right?
As usual.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get Sam on closer to the event. But Rick Coates is here. We can take care of a lot of questions that people have for us because people ask us about each other. And so we'll just get this out all on the podcast here. So this is not your only job, Rick Coates.
No, I've always had multiple jobs, as you very well know. I mean, when I was involved at the radio station, I was working at a place called Forest Dune. So I've had a career in the hospitality industry. And as you mentioned, as a writer, I mean, I worked with the Northern Express and some other publications right up until 2013. And, you know, for me, oh, man, this is exciting to have this My Brew come out because I was really concerned. And I know in a little bit we're going to talk about the future of radio, but print publications, major newspapers over the last 15 years that you would never think would go out of business have went out of business. Magazines are struggling.
Yeah.
And so I was really concerned about the future of print media. But being involved in this My Brew has kind of reinvigorated me for the future of this.
What do you think that is? Do you think it's more specialized publications such as this? So people, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's. I mean, what do you think the future of print publications are, generally speaking?
I mean,
magazine's different than a newspaper, or is it the same, in your opinion?
It's all part of the same family. But, yeah, I think that there is a future, because what happened is that over the course of the last 15 years or so, social media, which also is an industry that I'm very heavily involved with, social media has had a great impact on regular, what we call mainstream media, in a big way, in so many ways. And so as a result, what's happened is that essentially everybody's become a writer. Everybody's become a journalist. And in the same effect, as you very well know, because you're a podcastaholic, you know that everybody is now can be a radio person if they want to be, but it's not the same. And so what's happened in print media, what we've seen happen is that there isn't a... I'll give you an example. Somebody, and I'm not going to name the person, but somebody had declined doing an interview with me to be in this magazine, a brewmaster, because the person had been so misquoted in the last 5 years by these quasi-media people who don't. You know, there's an industry standard in radio. There's a certain, you know, it's not like anybody. Sometimes people think, because we're a couple of bumbling idiots, like anybody can do this, but not anybody can do it. And I think that's what we're finding now in print media, is that people are starting to say, well, wait a minute. You hear about it all the time. The big thing now is everybody's talking fake news. There's all this fake news floating around social media.
How about look at a few different sources? I mean, is that difficult? Oh, my God. Look at that.
Remember when
aliens have landed.
When we were on the air, there would be these things where people were on Facebook and they were posting about people that, oh, so-and-so died.
Yeah.
He died 3 years ago. They'd call us on the air and say, I can't remember the one guy, Joe Cocker. I remember somebody called and said, hey, did you hear Joe Cocker died yesterday?
He
and
dies you're like, every few weeks.
He died 3 years ago. So anyway, I think it's exciting, and I think it's also, I think the same thing for you. I mean, as you've done this great job, and congratulations on this podcast. I mean, this is a state-of-the-art facility in here that you have to look at it, too.
And the vents are clean. The vents are clean, Rick Coates.
Yeah, I can't believe how clean this place is.
No gleaning.
And you know what? The coffee tastes really good, too.
You know, we don't have to lock it up. My wife doesn't lock it up at the end of the day. Anyway, you know what? Adapting to things being online, and just like in radio, you know, it's my opinion that you have to adapt with the technology. You know, you can't ignore the technology. You got to embrace it and, in fact, use it to your advantage, you know, such as online and streaming. It's just as easy these days, almost just as easy these days, to turn on a podcast as it is to turn on the radio, you know, with the Bluetooth dashboards and things like that. Soon your car will be a Wi-Fi spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way they're rolling off the assembly lines in Detroit.
Exactly.
You know, a website is like a radio station transmitter, almost. I mean, you know, what was this? I'll just throw out some statistics. I'm not sure if they're true. But 10 years ago, 35% of the people had smartphones. Now it's 70%. In 10 years, 70% have smartphones. And look at Radio Shack. And I've said this scenario a million times. Is Radio Shack, they're selling phones now. That you'd be hard-pressed to find a radio in there.
Right.
And I'm not saying anything bad about radio, but, you know, you got to podcast your broadcasts. I mean, you look to the big dogs that are doing it right. Is that not only are they doing the radio show, but they're integrating extended interviews on their website.
They're doing also Facebook Live.
Facebook Live. I mean, you'd be an idiot to ignore that and not embrace it. And, you know, this is a reality. And it's kind of exciting because, I mean, yeah, there may be 200,000 podcasts out there, of which maybe 10% are good quality, that are consistent, that keep up the just like you said, the quality earlier, you know, anybody could print something, anybody could do a podcast, but the quality ones. What was I saying?
You're right on. I mean, we've kind of merged into talking about the future of radio, and you know, it is. I mean, everything is changing. You hit on it. You know, I've been sending you. There's a particular person that considers himself to be an expert in the industry, and I read his blog every day, and I watch his YouTube videos, and I forwarded you. And one of the things that he said is that every radio show has to be connected to social media today. If you're not, you're going to be obviously behind the times. And things are changing relatively fast. And I think, you know, when we go back to our days in radio, and we were at the transitional period where things were starting to change. And, you know, one thing that when people come up to me and they ask, hey, what happened to you guys? And I go through all of it. I'm not going to go through it on here, but I will say this is that one of the things that I think that people have really identified is that you sort of forget when you're right in the middle of working in radio is that radio is a three-way street. And what I mean by that is that it's the radio station, It's the listeners and it's the businesses. And if you don't connect all three, you're going to fail. And that's ultimately, you know, when people say, hey, the radio station you're at, you know, they've sold and what's happening. And I say that the new owners are going to do great things with that radio group.
Yeah, they're broadcasters. They are.
The old
owners are bottlers.
Right. The previous owners didn't live here in the marketplace. They live here.
Very frustrating.
Yeah, the new owners, they live in the marketplace. They worked in Detroit radio for 20 years. They bought a small radio station that was a country station in Grayling. They converted it to a classic rock station.
Right.
They've been successful for 5 years, and they understand sort of this bigger picture. And at the end of the day, I mean, I think that if, you know, when I say to people, I think sometimes we tried, but I think sometimes we failed in that component of connecting our listeners to the people who are supporting the station.
You know, they were on one of the local Interlochen Public Radio interview, and I said it was really interesting that they weren't necessarily going for the big flashy numbers, but loyalty. You know, and that is something I haven't heard out of people in a long time. Is like, hey, we're looking for loyal listeners. We want it to be your favorite radio station instead of just, you know, kind of
anybody.
You know, like, hey, we're going to give away some money, and hopefully these people will write it down. You know. I don't know.
No, you're right.
I don't know the right way, but I've always been into quality. You know, I follow and find and seek out quality things to listen to. And, you know, that just seems like, you know, people, you know, I'm no expert, but I you know, there's a lot of cookie cutter stations out there in the country. I just drove across the country and listened to a lot of radio stations. I just hit seek.
Right.
And just like the podcast, there's a bunch of podcasts, you know, 10% are great. The same thing on the radio. Like, you're hard-pressed to find something of high quality. And believe me, I'm a fan first. I'm not saying I'm not in the radio industry right now, so everything sucks out there. No, there's some great quality shows. I stopped into my friends in Rochester, New York, that still carry on the tradition of great radio, personality-based, you know, passionate local people doing a high quality, you know, having a high bar.
Right.
For, you know, there's a lot of people that are mailing it in. There's a lot of people that are pre-recording all the shows. And, you know, like when I got into the industry, I wanted to, you know, the airwaves were an empty canvas. You know, it was, and it's like so exciting to paint that canvas with whatever you want and push the envelope and
Old days. Swinging your arms around, knocking equipment over. Yeah.
Exactly. microphone is not falling off of the...
No, everything's high tech here. But no, you're absolutely right. And I think that's the, you know, and that's why I think just like with the newspaper business and the magazine business 15 years ago, I think that's why radio overall is challenged because of the fact that they sort of like malls, and not to put malls down, but they started mailing it in collectively, just a stereotype radio. Started mailing it in, let's be cookie cutter, let's hit it and quit it. Hit and quit it. It all of a sudden became, and if you listen, and what I started doing is...
Hit it and quit it means we have no confidence in the talent that we have
just
hired.
Read what's in front of you on the screen. Teleprompter.
Yeah.
And so,
that's,
you know...
That's so insulting.
And when you when we left the airwaves, what I started doing is I was clueless as to what was going on, not only in our own marketplace, and now I know why we were number one. There's no competition. But also, I listened around the state. Like, I listened to a lot of radio. I'd go on because everybody is streaming. So I listened to classic. And you could sense sort of like there was, it was just hit it and quit it everywhere, even in the major markets in Detroit and Lansing and Grand Rapids. It was really sad.
That's what kind of gets me excited about the possibilities of the future, because if there is such a low bar, then that means you can make a direct impact. I mean, I was listening to some, and I don't want to call any specific call letters out here because I am trying to get a job.
Right.
But there was situations in large markets that people were hitting it and quitting it and keep it rolling and play that song for the 350,000th time. You know, like, we always tried to play songs that made sense for what we were talking about.
Right.
You know, there was a kind of a thread. I'm not saying that we were all that, but we definitely cared about the product. That's for sure. I mean, when the show started, they said the show's from 6 to 10. I said, we need to start at 5:30. In fact, we need to get there at 4:30. It's like, you know, and then we're working the whole day. I just want I want to find something. Can somebody please tip me off to a show that is not a podcast, that is on the regular radio that I can listen to? You know who does a really good job is the guys at NMC.
Oh, yeah.
I never had a chance to listen to Eric. He has a great show, man.
Yeah.
It's an intelligent show. He brings, you know, I mean, that's probably the closest to some local quality, great content that's not just mailing it in, you know.
Right. No, they do a great job over there, yeah. WNMC. But, yeah, so, but I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, that there's a certain... you have to be very optimistic. I mean, your camp, because people say, hey, will you and Omelet ever get back together? And you know that, the likelihood of that is somewhat limited because my unwillingness. You're willing for the right opportunity to go to Des Moines, Iowa. I'm not.
Let's not get crazy. But you know what? Rick would be part of the conversation if it was to happen in Michigan. I think that would be safe to say. Your kids are both downstate now.
Right.
And, you know... I mean, it would just have to present itself first before we could, you know.
But as you very well know, because you've described it on these podcasts, and for people that don't understand this business, is that, you know, I'm set here for 30 years. I just celebrated my 30th year. I moved here 30 years ago this past November. And it's like you said, it was like, man, you pull into Des Moines, Iowa, and all of a sudden they pull the plug in you in 6 months. And,
right.
And you're living in this condo in Des Moines, and now what do I do? You know what I mean?
You got to go and test the waters. I mean, I wouldn't sell the house as soon as somebody offers you a job. But you go down there, you get a little apartment, you go downstate. I mean, if it happens downstate here, then I'd be happy to get an apartment in Detroit or in Grand Rapids or one of the other cities.
Yeah.
But what I'm still looking for the original passionate show. And if there's one out there, I want to listen to it. I'm a fan first, you know? I mean, I'm really rooting for radio right now. But I can't support the mail it in. I can't.
Right.
It's so, like, it hits me right on the side of the head when I hear it. And it's almost like, ugh, you know, your ex-girlfriend has let you, like, let herself go, you know, and it has nothing to do with me anymore.
Sure.
But hey, I wish them well. I wish success. I'm a fan, so I want to listen to good stuff. That's why I find it on podcasts.
Yeah.
I listen to some great podcasts, man. There's some people that I was just listening to a guy, Dean Del Rey.
Oh, yep. He introduced him to me, right.
Let There Be Talk. He was interviewing Ari Shaffir, another comedian. They were in a cab in New York City, and he's interviewing him. And then they're like back in the apartment. I mean, it was like something exciting. Could you imagine in the middle of Manhattan, they're driving in a cab, and you hear all the sounds and stuff.
Right.
It was just kind of exciting.
Well, you know, a lot of the way for people to maybe sort of relate to this, that if you work in a business or an industry, the people who are extremely successful, oh man, you know, they don't rest on their laurels. They don't rest on their reputation. And, you know, reputation is going to carry you so far. And after a while, you got to shake things up.
Right.
You can't just keep doing the same old, same old.
Something original and something that you thought of yourself and you could feel the intensity of being excited about something on the air, you know?
Right. Like,
and if that falls short, then you also notice that. It's like, man, there's no passion coming out of these speakers. There's no originality. There's no personal uniqueness to this,
right?
You know, presentation or whatever it may be. If somebody has passion, I usually like it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that maybe the people didn't know is that when we were doing the show, when we'd walk off, when the show ended at 10 o'clock, you know, we would take a break and then we'd regroup 45 minutes later. And then we'd say, you know, we lost today. We lost today. What are we going to do tomorrow to come back and get a win? We didn't have, you know, it was a mediocre. I mean, we were our harshest critics.
Oh,
there
was
no question about that.
Oh, it's never good enough.
Right.
I mean, in my mind, for me, I always I could do better. This is how I should have done better. You know, you listen back. It's like I could have executed that a little more quickly, or I could have asked this question on the interview. I mean, if you don't have that, if you think it's just all great coming out of the speakers, then you're going to, you know, the bar is going to be lowered. So you got to raise it for yourself. And when you work alongside people that don't push themselves higher and higher, you know, there's going to be confrontations. There's going to be people that don't like you because you're too direct, too passionate.
Right.
You know, if you were a department head and you're not challenging your staff or using your position as a something that's going to inspire other people, I think you're missing the boat. You know, if you're a department head, you got to lead by example. You got to set the bar high for the whole, you know, it's your job to bring people together. I'm not speaking specifically about the situation we were just there. I mean, it's possible, but you could put this into a lot of different situations. I've worked for a lot of different radio stations, and it's frustrating when, let's say, like a promotion director, you know, is not coming up with promotions, not being original, not being passionate, not, you know, just an example.
Right.
But I've worked for a lot of people that just go to work and then, yeah, I'm the promotion director. I'm like, you shouldn't even call yourself that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's so I know in listening.
You're not at the promotions. You're the promotion director. You don't work Saturdays. I don't even want to talk to you.
Right.
I don't want to talk to you.
Right. And I know, you know, and I've heard you answer this question on your podcast. It's like it's the so you could be what, you know, people ask me, well, how come Omelet's not in radio, you know, back in radio? I said, it's not that he hasn't been offered. Actually, both you and I had some opportunities. But it's like, hey, I'm just not going to go in it just to be in it. You know, and you're the same way.
Run into another frustrating situation.
Right.
Potentially, you know, it's got to make sure that we have the same vision and everybody's going to be on the same. You don't want to make the same. Not that there's been a lot of mistakes, but you don't want to, you know, the insane. What's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Right.
So I don't want to be an insane person.
Well, one of the advantages you have as a guy that's in your mid-40s is that you're not thinking like a 22-year-old kid anymore. Like you're sort of saying, hey, look, you know what? I'm looking for red flags.
Right.
And I'm, you know, before and I'm going to ask a lot of questions. And it really relates to anybody that's listening today that before you take a new job, start asking your company, what is your mission? What are your goals? How are you doing financially?
All sorts
of questions.
What is your, what do they call that? Mission statement, you know? What is your, you know? And if you ask some people questions like that, sometimes they're like, what's this guy? You know, like there's a little pushback sometimes when you're trying to make sure the bar is going to be set at a certain, you know, but there could also be, this guy is exactly what we're looking for. You know, when you make a connection like that and you're like, hey, what's the future? Where do you guys see yourself in 5 years? These are great questions
exactly.
to ask. You know, what is your opinion of the state of radio? What do you think it needs? You know, see if our visions link up. And that's exciting when they do link up, then you got something here.
Absolutely. You know?
But if your vision is to just cut, and cookie cutter, hit it and quit it, I don't want to do that.
You know, and I think for people, and I know we're going to move on, we got some other things to talk about, but I think in closing, you know, for people, because look at, you know, people automatically assume that, you know, maybe we're not happy with or mad at KLT or whatever, and
no.
Absolutely not. You know, I'm very grateful. I mean, the opportunity that you gave me and WKLT gave me to be able to be in radio, and also at a time where it afforded me to be here at home while my kids were going through high school and be a part of their lives. So I'm extremely grateful for KLT. And when I'm asked about the future, oh, man, I feel I've known the people who bought the radio station. I've known them for 5 years, and I know they're going to do good things, and I know it's going to be exciting. And I'm not sure everything that they're going to be doing, but I just know that these are people who really are passionate about radio. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made this sort of investment.
If they don't hire us, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. All right, Rick Coates, let's, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break,
okay.
And then I'm going to put out we got to talk about how come my reach is not reaching anybody? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
In 2 days, I got 700 followers. Thank you for helping me promote that. For a Facebook page, you get a public profile. I probably don't need a public profile because that's if you get more than 5,000 people. I'm a little boutique podcast here. But anyway, the 700 people, I put out a post and then I reached 35 people. I know it's a business. I know they want to make money. They want you to spend money on advertising, mm-hmm. but it's frustrating because I put out a post and then I'm not reaching the people that really do want to hear from us.
Right.
So do you rely on the people, the goodness of the people that share your posting since you've been involved with social media? And you said even the personal pages are not getting out there.
Right. I mean, definitely. I know we're going to take a break. So when we come back, let's delve right into it. Yeah.
We'll do that. We'll be right back. It's omeletradio.com and we'll be right back. My guest today is Rick Coates. Okay, we're back on the podcast. Rick Coates is my guest today. We just put out a Facebook message and both shared it. So hopefully we're going to get some in-studio phones. Get back and talking with the people. Rick Coates and I here on this Monday, early Monday morning. It's just like the same hours as the old show. But we're here for the people, man. I just put out the number, and so that we should be getting some calls. But in the meantime, Rick Coates, you sent out a Facebook message last week that was this extensive...
Commentary. Editorial, about, sure.
There was a football coach in Elk Rapids. His name is Ed Schindler.
Mm-hmm.
And tell the people that may not be familiar with that, because I think you made a very big impact with this great writing of yours.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, just the backstory is that I think that, you know, and over our years on the air, we talk a lot about high school sports, college sports, and that. And I think that there's a growing... challenge among what high school sports and youth sports is all about. And part of what's happening is that we're seeing, just like at the NFL and the collegiate ranks, great high school coaches who are being held to sort of the same standard as an NFL coach and a college coach who has the ability to recruit and trade and draft for players. High school coaches are dealt whatever players are in their school system. So if for whatever reason, a great coach who is doing so much more than just what happens on the playing field, working with these young athletes,
right,
if one parent or a couple of parents aren't happy, they can toss over the apple cart real easy. And that's what happened. I think what happened in Elk Rapids was the last straw for me, seeing so many great coaches here in Northern Michigan in my 30 years of living here, legendary coaches who have had such a positive impact on young people get fired for the wrong reasons. And I feel that's what happened in Elk Rapids.
They've had to forfeit some games, I think, because they have a lack of players or players quitting or something.
Hurt,
their
yeah,
season,
injury.
Season ended up ended early for some of the teams, not just Elk Rapids, but there's been some lack of participation.
Suttons Bay, Benzie Central this year, two schools that couldn't even field a team, and so they forfeited their season. Now they're going to like eight-man football, a lot of schools going to eight-man football.
And there was another situation with a volleyball coach, Traverse City Central.
Right.
Somebody could
came down on the court.
Parents criticizing the coach, and then parents not knowing when to show self-restraint.
Right, right.
So what is specifically going on in Elk Rapids with this coach? And then he was offered his job back, and he declined, which brought a smile to my face.
Well, there was a community outcry, you know, in small towns across the country. And for whatever reason, football is put on a higher pedestal. I think it's just because somebody asked me, hey, how come football is on such a high pedestal compared to every other high school sport? And for some reason, football for the last 60 years has been a community's identity. It really has.
And
all across the country.
Of
so
course.
It is what it is. And so, you know, the high school football coach is just somebody that's like considered to be, I guess, like a pillar of the community. In the case of Ed Schindler and his wife, they were very active in that community of Elk Rapids. They helped raise all of the money to build the football stadium. And there's always that factor that a lot of parents don't understand. And a football coach is, or any sort of high school coach, is really a second set of parents to a kid. You know, a year ago when my kid was playing high school sports, he spent more time with his coaches than he did with his parents.
Right.
And so they have this important aspect. And I think that if you, and I don't know all of the particulars in Ed Schindler's situation and what happened. It's my understanding a few parents met secretly with the school board. But those are just rumors that I've heard. But what I do know is that the guy basically had a perfect review. When they did a review, the athletic department did a review. He had a perfect score. He was doing everything.
What was the issue?
That was the big question. And it was, you know, from what I understand, a parent or two who were not happy with their kids' playing time.
Oh my God.
You see, so, and this has happened to so many coaches.
Something has happened behind the doors,
right.
In private meetings. Something happened where they decided, because of parental pressure, to release this guy from his What exactly did they do? They relieved him of his
duties?
Yeah,
they just said, they were firing him. It was my understanding that he was going to step down at the end of this next season, that his son is going to be a senior, and he was going to coach through his son's senior year and then step down. He's not a teacher there. He works in the financial industry. When you're a high school coach, even though you're getting some small salary, you're not making any money to do this. And so I was really, with my editorial post on my Facebook page, I was really pointing to the bigger picture of where, you know, we've talked about this a lot when we had our radio show about communication and the lack of communication. And I think that school districts have failed in communicating what it is that their athletic programs are trying to accomplish. Sure, everybody wants to win a state championship, but only 8 high school football teams every year are going to win a state championship.
Right.
So what do the other 1,500 schools do? They're not going to win. Do they fire their coaches? But the thing is that without communicating to the parents and the players what the program is about, and then also explain to the parents what your responsibilities are.
You think that the unrealistic expectations from the parents, my kid is the star, my kid needs all the playing time, my kid should be quarterback, and when they don't get their way, they want to go to the administration.
I think
people thinking that this is my kid's meal ticket.
Exactly.
This is going to be a free education. And when they start not getting the playtime and they start not getting the ball every down, then they start saying, "Oh, my kid's future is in jeopardy because of this coach is getting in the way of our dream."
Right, exactly. I mean, that's one part of it. But, you know, and parents need to understand that it's, your kid can play college sports, but 99% of the kids that play high school sports are not going to go on and play college sports. And most of the kids who do go on and play college sports, they get very little athletic scholarship dollars. But that's a whole other story. But I think the real issue here is that when you have a situation where it's not communicated with the coaches, the parents and the players, and if a coach doesn't know, if the coach's only responsibility is just to win, they're on the field, they're going to end up failing because you don't have a control over who your players are.
Right.
You can't go recruit kids to come to your school to play. And so I think
it's because of geography, wherever you may fall.
Some schools are making parents now sign a code of conduct like they do with the students, athletes, because it's the bottom line here is that when your kid gets to high school, you have to stop advocating for them. You have to transition them into adulthood. And that's what athletics does. That's what being in the school band does, being in these extracurricular activities. So you have to transition them into being an advocate for yourself. And I pointed that out in my little editorial on Facebook, is that when your kid is out of college and applying for a job, you can't be calling the prospective employer on your son or daughter's behalf. And it's the same sort of thing with high school athletics. Is that your kid has to go in. If he's not getting playing time, he needs to go in, or she needs to go in and talk to the coach. And some coaches won't talk to parents. I mean, but it's an unfortunate situation, because what happened here is because Elk Rapids failed to communicate, because the coach knew. I mean, it was obvious they had a couple of bad years,
right?
But he was the winningest coach in their high school football history. Had a couple of bad years. They had to forfeit some games. A turnout for football has been low at Elk Rapids,
and
things are cyclical even for the great football programs in this state. And so he gets a perfect review from the athletic department, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, we're firing you.
Did they give a reason initially? They didn't.
No.
And he didn't come out and speak about it.
Well, he did finally a week ago, and that's when I posted. And so, but it's, you know, just as I was mentioning before we started this podcast, I mean, a great coach who just took over at Brother Rice, a legendary football program. He was a star player. He'd been an assistant coach there for 15 years. He took over for a 40-some-year legend there at Brother Rice. He was fired. He had a winning record this year. They had a little bit of a down year a year ago, but the players, and that's who really gets hurt by all of this, are the kids, the students, who this is really for, the students.
And I don't know how you'd explain this to the students, but you know, as a result of you writing this commentary on your Facebook page.
Oh, my God, all of the people.
288 shares. Could you imagine how many people that is?
Yeah.
And then you had 607 likes, which is really unprecedented for a Facebook posting. But it seems like after you wrote this and after it was shared so widespread all over northern Michigan, then they came back and offered him a job, his job back.
Well, I don't know if I get any responsibility for that, but
he definitely spearheaded something here.
Well, yeah,
and then he declined, which kind of made me chuckle. But I just don't want the kids to suffer because of it.
Yeah,
unless he could maybe work out a deal that this is the way that if I come back, this is the way that it's going to go.
I think that at this particular point, it's sort of it relates to our situation in the sense that you see a red flag and you say to yourself, "Look, it's time to move on."
Yeah,
it's been
a great 10 years.
It's been a great years here at Elk Rapids. Now I have an opportunity to go back to Frankfort, work for a legendary program where I played football at, and I've got a lot of community connections there. And, you know, the person who is really, I mean, I'm sure Ed is hurt. I haven't had a chance to speak to him. He's a mentor to my son. And matter of fact, that's the first person besides his family when my son comes home today, as a matter of fact, from his first semester at University of Michigan. The first person he's going to get with is Ed because Ed's his mentor.
How is that going? How is the first semester for
Joe? Had a great first semester.
University of Michigan.
To say he's at a university in Ann Arbor.
Right, okay. But what about what about his adjustment to a huge college? How many people do they have? 30, 40, 50,000?
Something like that. You know, it's a big town. I mean, if you think about it, a university, any big university, it's a city within a city.
Was that a tough adjustment for him?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that, you know, when you talk about this, we talked about this all of the time on the radio, is that if you have goals and you have objectives in your life and you're focused and you're centered, then you put the blinders on and you say, hey, look, it all of this other stuff doesn't really matter. So, hey, I have a goal. My son has a goal. He has an objective. And he's down there in Ann Arbor trying to accomplish that.
But and there is a lot of potential distractions.
There are, and it's been amazing to me because I thought about when I went to college, my wife thought about when she went to college, that you get sucked into that, and especially if you come from a small town. I didn't come from a small town, so I went from a big town to a small town to go to college for my first 2 years.
Right.
But anyways, no, he has always been remarkably resilient to, you know, he made a commitment to himself that he wasn't going to do drugs, that he wasn't going to drink alcohol, and he has been able to stick to that.
Tremendous.
Because when you go to college,
tremendous.
It's like everywhere you turn around, here there's a bong and a beer, you know.
Yeah, and you've got 24/7 unsupervised, no parents for the first time in your life. You know, there's 40,000 people your same age. I mean, there could potentially be distractions and keep you away from, you know, keeping the eye on the prize.
Yeah,
so I know that Joe has always been like that.
Right.
He's always been self-disciplined. I mean, a lot more than I ever would.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm still not as disciplined as he is.
Good for him, man.
So it's been a great, but, you know, I'm happy for Ed and Amy Schindler as they go to the Frankfort area to be connected to that community where they're from, but saddened for their son, who is going to be a senior next year and going to, you know, transfer to Frankfurt to be able to play football for his father.
Is that what he's
going
to do?
Yes.
Great.
And so, I mean, but it's hard because
in your senior year, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's overall, though, man, and just putting closure to this, I think that school systems need to really sit down and determine what it is the focus for their program at athletically, all of their programs. Certainly winning the state championship, that's everybody's goal, but there has to be other goals. There's other purposes to that, and they need to convey that message to the parents and to the players.
And it'd be nice to see some solidarity from the school system sticking up for their coach to parents. To you work on a united front against people that are going to try to be, you know, rebel rousers, troublemakers within the parents. You know, hey, this is our coach. We're sticking with him. We think we have faith in it. You know, that's it.
Life isn't fair,
right.
People.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
All right. So let's see. We talked about the beer. How about the Lions? You made a prediction that the Lions weren't going to fare too well. They've been awfully impressive this year, but
are lucky.
They've been lucky winning a lot of games from within 7 points.
Yeah, what did Stafford? He set the NFL record since the merger of the two leagues, the NFL record for what? Eight come from behind wins. So eight of their nine victories were fourth quarter come from behind wins. And so that speaks to how competitive the NFL is. Yeah, I have to admit that there's no question that, you know, I joked around. A lot of people have to understand. I got a lot of crap over this. But look, you were pro Lions. See, if you're going to say a Lions are going to go 11-5 right. or 12-4, I have to say they're going to go 4-12.
Interesting would it be if we're just on the same page with all of this? But
yeah.
The Lions lost to the Giants yesterday. Do you think Stafford is a better quarterback because he is not just looking for Calvin Johnson?
I think that's part of it. I think also, too, there's a certain sense of maturity level. He's married now. I don't see him doing keg stands out on boats on West Bay anymore. And so I think that all of a sudden, it's like anything else. You sort of realize that, you know what, he's not at the end of his career, but he's at the middle of his career. And I think yesterday, I don't remember, it was Troy Aikman. He said, you're defined at how well you do in January. And you can be a great quarterback, but you're defined. I mean, look at Terry Bradshaw is a legend. He would have just been a totally mediocre quarterback, but he won 4 Super Bowls. I mean, if you look at his statistics, they're terrible overall.
He had Lynn Swann, he had Jack Lambert.
But he made it all work.
He had Franco Harris.
And he led that team and 4 times to Super Bowl championships. So Matt Stafford knows that his legacy is going to be what he does in January. But they got to get to January this year. Certainly from a Lions perspective, they've exceeded everybody expectations, but yours. They're not going to meet your expectations because I think you predicted 11-5. I said if they went 8-8, it would be a good year. I kind of felt that they would be 7-9 or, 6-10.
We have a game up on the Green Bay Packers, and we have Dallas next Monday night.
And Green Bay has Minnesota at home.
They have Minnesota at home. So that's a likely win for Green Bay. And then we have Green Bay to finish out the season with.
January 1st.
So if we end up the season tied with Green Bay,
we're out of the playoffs.
Because they have more divisional wins.
They beat us twice.
They were 3-1 as of right now in the division. Then after
head
next
to head.
Year.
You start head to head.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I believe.
Head to head.
Yep.
And that they would have maybe
beaten us
split
twice.
With us.
Well, if they, If we beat them.
Then we're in.
Right.
If we lose two and they win,
if we beat them, we're going to have a better record than them. So it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, okay, let's make the assumptions. The assumption would be that this week, we're going down to Dallas on Monday night. We're going to lose to Dallas. They've got Minnesota, who played absolutely atrocious at home last week. They've got – or this past – yesterday. So now Minnesota travels to Lambeau Field. So let's just say that we're going to be tied with Green Bay after this weekend.
Yeah.
We're both.
And then it comes down to who wins that game, and whoever wins that game wins the division.
Right.
If they win, do we get a playoff game, a wild card potentially?
A real outside. I mean, right now, for guaranteed Dallas
and the
Giants are in. Yeah. And if the Redskins win tonight against the Carolina Panthers, they're certainly up there. And then you've got Atlanta hovering around and Tampa Bay hovering around. I mean, Tampa Bay's having a phenomenal season. As you pull up the record, as you can see, Atlanta and Tampa Bay. So there's a lot of question marks. One of the advantages that we do have, but what's going to hurt us, is if we lose to the Cowboys. If you look at our record in the division and in the conference or whatever, however they call it, we've done pretty well. If you break it down there, I know you pulled it up on your screen.
We're 6-1 at home, but we're 3-4 on the road. In the division, we're 3-2. The Green Bay Packers are 3-1.
In the conference, we're 7-3, right?
Right. Yep.
And we'll go to 7-4. But if you look, 7-4 is still pretty good if that's going to be a deciding factor as we get in. But Seattle is definitely in. And then if you look at the other teams that are on the fence, it's Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and then up there, it's the Cowboys are in. The Giants will definitely be in after next weekend. And the Redskins, if they win tonight, they could potentially be in.
It's fun to think about the possibilities of playoff football, especially if we win the division and we get a home game against somebody like an Atlanta Falcons, even though they're pretty hot right now. Or if we play the Buccaneers at Ford Field, that would be pretty good. I think we'd have a chance against Tampa Bay. If we had, you know, we just don't seem to be lining up with teams like Dallas Cowboys or the Giants, even though we stayed a lot closer to the Giants than I thought we were going to.
Right. We really needed to win out to lock in a bye, you know, first week playoff bye. Right now, what we're going to be fighting for is an opportunity to even have a home playoff game, because you could still win your conference and not and have the first game at home. And then obviously be on the road. Like if we do win our division, I'm sorry, I'm calling it, if we do win the North, we could potentially have a home game and then play, you know, a pretty tough team at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it'll be interesting. We could have the Giants at home.
Oh, my God.
But the Giants are hoping that we win. They're hoping that we beat Dallas the Giants are still in the hunt to win the NFC East. So
12-2 Dallas against 10-4 Giants. So yeah. If Giants win out last two games and Dallas loses, then they are together.
But you know, if you look at that game yesterday, we had a lot of bad luck. Let's, you know, the Zenner fumbling on the goal line. Stafford's hand, obviously he if that throw was a little bit further to Tate, that would have been a touchdown. So you know, we had another fumble. So it just, you know, some bad luck, and then that interception to end the game. So
we struggle against teams like Chicago Bears, and we also struggle against the great elite teams. It's just we've got to stay in the hunt in some of these games.
Right.
All right, Rick, it looks like we're not going to take any calls today, but I'd like to have you on the podcast on the regular, man. Whenever you want to come on here and talk about something, you got something on your mind, let's, you know, this is very seamless having Rick Coates on as a guest, as he should be. Subscriptions for My Brew. Where do people go? Do they look up the...
Yeah, go to the Michigan Brewers Guild. I mean, you can go to, my beer.
Diana Stampfler is writing for this.
Right.
The publicist for the show.
Yeah, our former publicist from the show. She works for the Brewers Guild. She's their marketing director. So,
Well, it's a good-looking magazine. People should go to Michigan Brewers Guild.
Yep.
And it's called My Brew, and you can look. It looks like Rick Coates on the cover there, with his Michigan State Spartans.
But that's a Michigan beer hat. Those are hops.
Is that a block of ice that's holding the beer?
Yeah, down at the there's a guy, an ice carver, and he makes beer mugs out of ice.
Oh my God. I need one of those right now.
We'll post that. I'll get that picture, full picture posted as the magazine goes out in the mail. But, you know, one of the things, before we just wrap up, I know we went way over time, but that's the cool thing about doing a podcast. You can make it as long as you'd like. But, you know, in closing, you know, another thing that I've been really, really involved with over the last couple of years, and now that's another aspect of what I do for a living, is social media. And you were asking me this question as we were, before we went to break, about it's really frustrating about Facebook, and you post something and the reach is limited. But the bottom line is that I can liken it to a radio and the comment that I made before. There's no such thing as free. And I think that what happened was is that the model of social media, the business model, seemed to be to the general public that Facebook and Twitter, and if you go way back, MySpace, all of this stuff was free, but it isn't free. Somebody has got to pay for it.
Right.
It's got to be paid for. It's the same thing with radio. I mean, when I've had conversations with the people, I said, radio isn't free. And what you have to do is, when you talk about loyal listeners and having people that are loyal, a loyal listener is a person who's going out and supporting the people who are supporting the show, supporting the radio station. That's a loyal listener. It's not just about listening, because it's not free. The radio is not free.
Right.
And the same thing with social media. I mean, I think about Bill Burr in that podcast and Sherry's Berries. I mean,
he delivered, but anyway,
it's the same thing with social media. What Facebook did is it's like a drug dealer, you know? They gave it to us for free.
Right.
And now it's you're addicted. It's a drug. You're addicted. Hey, we got a call.
Oh my God.
who's calling here?
Let's go to the 231 area code. Good morning, Omelet Radio.
Hey, good morning, Rick. This is Jim Perry. Rick, I graduated with you. I just wanted to say congratulations and good luck on the new venture.
Hey, yeah, my high school buddy he lives up in Petoskey now, Jim Perry. We graduated 35 years ago next year.
Nice, Jim. Wow. What do you do up in Petoskey now?
I am a physical therapy assistant. Love nice. It. I help people get better. It's a big career change for me from what I used to do, but I'm glad I made it. And actually, I've got to shoot out the door right now, guys, but I just wanted to call and say congratulations.
All right, thanks so much. How long have you lived in Petoskey, though, Jim?
21 years.
Nice.
Yeah, he's been listening to the show day one.
I've got to get up to Petoskey real quick.
All right, Jim, have a Merry Christmas. I'll talk to you in the new year, buddy.
Guys.
Thank you, brother.
Yep.
Thank you. All right, Rick Coates, we get another call coming in. We got Lady T calling in from Gaylord, right?
Not anymore. I'm in Toledo, Ohio.
What?
What? You're supposed to notify us when you move.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of snuck out of town.
Did you really move out of town?
Yeah. Yeah, I live in Toledo, Ohio now.
What brought you to Toledo? Because...
Well, my brother is a senior veterinarian down here at the Toledo Zoo. He's lived here about 9 years. And Austin, who you guys met, goes by Tex. He moved down here about a year ago. I just really love the town when I was coming down to visit, so I decided there's nothing in Gaylord, so I bailed.
You love Toledo.
I do. It's awesome down here.
What about, didn't you have a good job at a hospital up this way?
Yep, I did. I actually do HR work now, human resources.
Oh, nice.
At a company. Yep, I love it.
And did you get married, Lady T?
No.
You didn't get married. Okay, I thought I might have known you to be engaged or something like that, but the truth is we just needed to reconnect with you, that's all.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'm glad everything's going well down there in Toledo. Who was the gal? We used to play a little sound bite from her all the time. Remember the Misfits were supposed to pick up somebody in Toledo for...
What was that gal's
name again?
Hurricane Katrina.
Hurricane Katrina, that's right.
Hurricane, yeah.
Well, Lady T, it's great to hear from you. Thank you. Stay in touch.
Yeah, I wanted to call and tell you guys Merry Christmas and congratulations on your podcast.
Thank you. Yep, it was great to have Rick on as a guest. Don't miss the episode. It'll be up in like an hour and a half.
Yeah, call your local classic rock station and tell them to hire Omelet.
We do have one down here and it's pretty good.
Oh,
I
really?
Listen to it.
What's the name of the show? What's the name of the show?
It doesn't replace the WKLT, so right. You can bleep that out if you want. I'll have to think of what the call letters are. I'll text it to you guys.
Have you stayed in touch with Tree Trimmer at all?
No.
Okay.
I'll dispose of you.
I see him at his niece's graduation party, and I think I pretty much put him on edge. I know he's still married, though.
He's married?
I didn't know he was married.
I didn't even know he was married.
Yeah, he got married.
Oh, boy. All right, well, Lady T, we love you. Thanks for calling in.
Love you, too. Merry Christmas, guys.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
So back onto the social media, though. So that's it. I mean, what Facebook has to do now is it's a very popular word out there. It's called monetize. And so Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, all of these Instagram, they have to monetize now. They've made these major investments. Facebook is worth like $20 billion or more or whatever it is. They have to monetize it. And so what they're doing is that we mentioned this before that, look at you, you've done the right thing. You created an Omelet Radio Facebook page. So you have your business page.
Yeah.
And then you have your personal page. And you can mix the two, but you can't use your personal page for business. Because it's just like everybody, when you sign a contract, you don't read the small print. Well, Facebook has a lot of small print when you start a Facebook page, and it has guidelines. And one of the guidelines is that personal pages are for personal. That doesn't mean you can't promote your business page, but you can't run a business through your personal page.
Right.
You have to, because you can't, on a personal page, you can't buy ads and all of that. So they want you to have a business page, which you do. And then what they want you to do is they want you to start buying ads. They want you to start paying. And what's frustrating...
They have me confused with somebody that's making money off of this. I'm not making any money.
They don't care.
I just want people to listen to the podcast.
I know.
That's it.
I know, but that's...
It's very pure.
That's the way it works. And so social media, though, you have to adapt to it. I mean, you and I were talking when we were on break. We were talking about Ted Nugent is a social media fool now. He's
really
addicted to that.
Yeah.
Like at his daughter's wedding. And
I think, and I don't know if it was you that said this, but, you know, Facebook Live is free now. Like you should really use it while it's free because it may be a paid service in the future to run a live video stream.
It's like
so
now
you get these when get it while it's hot. Right now it's free. It's hot. Get it.
Do it. And as you very well know, I mean, when it first came out, I did that Pokemon Go thing and I had 20,000 people
tremendous.
View the thing. I mean, it's just stupid. But it is kind of funny that that's the way it works.
Original content.
Original content. And so, I mean, I think you're doing a good job. I mean, you're incorporating social media, but it's also very time consuming. And that's where
I find a job.
I know. That's where I, love what I do. I mean, is because I walk out of my bedroom 10 feet to my office.
Right.
And I do this. It's like you. I have this setup. And, of course, I don't have all of the microphones and all of that. But I'm managing all of these social media pages for people. It's sort of like a mad scientist where you're tweeting and texting and social this and social that and Instagram and Snapchatting.
Yeah.
And it's really fun and fascinating. And it's something that really everybody has to
embrace.
And you're
using Hootsuite, right?
I use Hootsuite. I use a few other things. But Hootsuite is a big one. It really helps you manage multiple.
You can schedule your tweets and Facebook postings according to a schedule. Like if we could have scheduled one to drop in our Facebook page 6 o'clock last Saturday saying, hey, our party's in an hour. You could set this up a week ahead of time and it'll just tweet for you on a schedule, which is incredible.
And you can do it on Facebook without Hootsuite. Facebook has the ability to schedule your posts.
Yeah.
So you can schedule posts. There's a little icon there. You'll see it when you look on your Facebook page. But I think it's no matter what business you're in, there is an element of social media that is going to play a role. There's just no getting around it.
Right.
And if you're going to be, if you're 70 years old and you're getting ready to check out of the work world, you don't have to worry about social media. But if you're sticking around in this world for a while, especially the work world, you've got to be in tune to social media. And the thing is, what's frustrating is it changes every single day.
I wonder what somebody like Kevin B. Kline, who has built a whole career.
Doesn't even play concerts. He's just on social media.
I guess he's a rock star. He plays music at some point or another, but he has really gotten a name for himself and built a reputation solely on social media. So there's something to be learned from somebody like that as well. But I wonder if they get frustrated that it doesn't reach their people. But you know what? They've got like three or four people retweeting. Everybody's retweeting each other. And it's pretty intense, man. I'm pretty exhausted.
You
got to
get Cooper and Scorch on social media and get them retweeting.
I was going to call the podcast Omelette and Scorch. And then people were like, who is Scorch? And I'm like, oh, he's always there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rick Coates, thanks for your time this morning.
Lots of
glad
fun.
To be on the air with you. And I'll have you back. And you've been listening to OmeletteRadio.com. We'll be back. J-Bo Billman's joining me on Thursday, the next podcast. We're going to throw this one up here on a Monday. And again, Rick Coates, thank you very much. Great to have you on.
Great to be here. Be back soon.
A podcast for the people lives at OmeletteRadio.com.
Trees, raise up cups of Christmas cheer. I just need to catch my breath. Merry Christmas, couldn't miss this one this year.